Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Noz Mir, Managing Director of AIM Recruit and Youth in Trucks, which is a new initiative encouraging young people to join the industry. Welcome to the very first live episode of a UKIFTA podcast. I'm thrilled to be able to introduce the guest speakers today. They're all proud winners of previous UKIFTA Young Person of the Year awards. We have Hannah Ward from Certas, Emily Yates from Craggs Energy, and Harry Boxall from Fast Exocell. And now, without further ado, let me introduce you to AIM's non-executive director and the leader and host of Wolf Power Podcast, Alex Wolf.
Noz, thank you very much, and it's great to be in Leeds this afternoon. Guys, you're following in big footsteps at this arena. We've had the likes of Elton John, The Boss, Bruce Springsteen, Scissor Sisters are coming up, and it's quite awesome that the podcast is here today. And a big hello to those who aren't in Leeds today from our 65 countries from around the world. And we are trying to find out today those people that win the highest awards at UKIFTA in the downstream industry in Britain, where did their careers end up? What have they gone on to do? Are they still working in the fuel industry? Have they come millionaires? So we'll find that out in the next 45 minutes. So we're going to jump straight into it. And as we think about, you know, where they've been and what's happened, we want to understand what started their journey in the downstream energy industry. So without any further ado, can I welcome Emily from Craggs Energy to tell your story?
Hello. I first started in 2015 as an apprentice for sales at Craggs. Craggs had a sales academy running at the time. I started originally in childcare. So a bit of a change, but I'd say it's probably the best decision I've ever made. I progressed then on to sales, domestic and agricultural for Craggs.
So. Fantastic. Well, childcare is not a bad thing to be in. I might have also invested in that industry, so very good. But I also want to hear, though, a slightly different pathway. Hannah from Certas, how did you enter the industry?
So I started the industry as an apprentice in 2019. It was my first ever job, never worked in an office before. And I went into customer service, and that was probably the best thing I've ever done. And I went on to my level 3 apprenticeship.
And then Harry, how did you enter this wonderful world?
Well, fell into it, to be honest, Alex. I did a spell of car sales for a few years. Found the hours to be rather long and laborious, and along with the pay, and was looking for another sales job. So I joined my local fuel distributor, Evesons Fuels, part of NWF, and went from there, and my career sort of progressed from there, promoted to a depot manager, and then moved on to Fast later on.
So well, because it's quite interesting. A lot of people see car sales as pretty glamorous, pretty boom, hand on motors. So did you miss that glamour at all?
It was a great laugh. You met some interesting characters, but I don't miss the hours. No, absolutely not.
Well, now, as we move on, I remember that there's always been key individuals that somewhere in your life sponsor you, end up being that person that said yes at an interview, gave you a leg up, inspired you a bit. I'm just interested, Hannah, have there been any individuals or organisations along your journey that have been that difference?
Definitely my team manager of my old role, which was customer relations, Nicola Blake. She was a massive part, and she still is a massive part of my day-to-day life. If it wasn't for her, she basically helped me grow. She planted the seed, and then I've sprouted into who I am now. And if it wasn't for her, I definitely wouldn't be where I was.
And Emily, similar story for you, or totally different type of person?
I've got two. So I've got my mum and dad that have supported me from the very beginning. I wouldn't be where I am today without them and their support. And then in the company of Craggs, I'd probably say Chris Bingham and Matthew Crockett. So they've supported me through everything that I've done as from an apprentice right through to where I am now. So I'd like to say thank you to them.
The mum and dad story, I think a lot of us can relate to that. My grandfather went actually to Bradford University in this county and was an electrical engineer, and then my father was a nuclear engineer. So exactly, I know that, you know, you get families of doctors, but it's proud to hear that you've got an encouraging family to get you into trucks and energy. And Harry, for you, any variation on that in terms of inspirational person that came along and lifted you from the grassroots?
Yeah, absolutely. I think if I think back to my car selling days, I mean, I knew nothing about cars and just had a passion and interest in it. And I was 17 at the time and fancied giving it a go. So the owner of the franchise, Luke, said, go on, I'll give you a shot in sales. And my career sort of progressed from there. I think that job really gave me good fundamentals for where I am today. But I think another person was Nick Seaborn when I joined NWF. He was my manager there and he guided me in a way. I think, you know, just really grind hard and work hard on the sales and you'll progress your career. And it has. So
you guys didn't just progress. You guys came winners. You came the best person in your age group considered in the industry. And I think I'm going to go back to you this stage, Hannah. And I'm just interested, what did you win the award for? And what made you stood out back when you were crowned champion at UKIFTA?
So I don't actually know why I won the award. And I still think to myself, why did I win it? But I think it was just because I was really good at my job, The customers that I used to handle on the phone were amazing, and I used to get shouted at a lot. I worked in complaints, so it probably wasn't the nicest of departments, but I loved it. And I think because I did not only one but two apprenticeships and I passed with flying colours, I think that word made me win the award, I think.
And Harry, how did you stand out in an industry that has thousands of people to be the best of your year group?
Well, at the time, I was the youngest depot manager in the business. And we had a record year. I really tried to push the team as hard as we could. And, yeah, we delivered some fantastic results. So they recognised that and put me forward for the award, and here we are.
Now, we might have had a little warm-up, Emily. Your one's slightly different about why you won Best Person.
So at the time, I was in domestic sales and also out delivering the fuel that I was selling. So going out and doing emergency late night deliveries to cold weather priority customers and vulnerable people. So at the time, putting the customers first, it was the most important thing. And I think it was recognised by my fellow colleagues that it was something that I should have won the award for. So.
I got to say, when I heard that story, I was like, good on you. The amount of young people that see this differentiation between the office and the truck, and the fact they said, no, I will do all of it, I'm having it. I was absolutely chuffed to hear that. And it's one of the things I love about this industry is that we can all look lovely and glamorous like we do today, but we can also look very fetching in our PPE, delivering kerosene to families that need it. And that's why I was so impressed by your story, Emily. I'm going to stay with you, Emily, because let's be honest, it's not all award ceremonies, beautiful trade shows, highlights, being in the same dressing room as Elton John. Sometimes there's some challenging days in the office. And I was just wondering if you could tell us one of the more challenging times that actually was more of a character building day than an award winning day.
I think in the fuel industry, a lot of things can go wrong from the point of somebody ordering to them actually getting the fuel. So there's been some days where you just can't see light at the end of the tunnel, and it's just ensuring that you've got everything in place to try and cover what you need to do. So we've got these vulnerable customers in areas that you can't reach, and there's been times where you've been there till 11, 12 o'clock at night, and it's just making sure that you're doing as much as you can, as best as you can. But it's just also, since becoming an apprentice to a manager, what's been difficult is the difference of how you need to do things, how you need to manage and speak to people, keeping everyone happy while still delivering what the company needs and what the customers need. So it's quite difficult. It's not really a day that I can say that's what happened. It's just every day is completely different.
Now, we also know, Hannah, in terms of challenging days, when something like the Beast from the East comes or someone's vulnerable on the phone, this is actually life and death. This might mean that someone vulnerable is not getting their heating oil. What was a challenging day for you?
It was exactly in Beast from the East. A little old lady had no fuel. She had no family around. She was on the phone crying her eyes out to us. And if we had someone like Emily that could have got to her in a small tanker, it would have been perfect. But it was snowing. It was horrible. But we managed to get her pre-packed kerosene from one of the depot operations. And she was sat waving him down at the end of the lane waiting for him. And the fact that we was part of that operation for her was amazing. But it was so challenging listening to her on the phone crying her eyes out for hours, bless her, because she'd run out of fuel.
Is a really stressful situation that, and but I think that's the thing that our industry does so well. And in terms of like meaningfulness, we ultimately mean that people do have warm houses, they do have power generating in their factories, and that is the type of thing that I want to say to any young person listening to this across 65 countries. Think about how you can get into fuel distribution, because there's not many other worlds you can do that. But Harry, what was the challenging day you had?
Well, there's been a few, but I think I remember coming in one day and we'd have had a bit of a spout of truck issues, as we do.
Never.
But all of the trucks were off the road, all of them. And somehow we managed to use our third-party suppliers to get them all out, delivered, and we had a few, like Hannah just said, that had run out. And it's like, oh, my God, what am I doing? You're pulling your hair out, like, what am I actually doing here? But using the resources and our third-party suppliers, we managed to get it done.
A good plug for UKIFTA here. If you're wondering who can service your trucks and keep them on the road, at UKIFTA, they've got plenty of support members who essentially do keep our vehicles on the road, and some fantastic companies here. But I understand that pain, Harry. The customer wants fuel. The truck is in the yard. The two things don't go together. It is a tough one. But I'm going to stick with you, Harry. And I'm interested, though, what was the proudest work achievement? Because I know in my career, there's been some days, and I remember like one of the ones that was really emotional was actually when I was at the Olympic finals in 2012, although everyone was talking about Usain Bolt and everything like that, I remember that that stadium had been a fuel depot, and our fuel had led to the building of that depot and the construction side. And I just remember thinking, wow, what a development our industry makes. So what's the proudest day of achievement in your career?
It's got to be winning the award, funnily enough. Genuinely. So on the evening, you know, we had all the team around us and we're waiting. And we go, oh, who's going to win? He's a young depot manager. We go, oh, okay, all right. And anyway, when they announced that I won, the whole table just erupted and it was a great atmosphere. So that was unreal.
And Emily, what was your proudest day? Because it's probably slightly different to Harry's.
Yeah, just a little bit. Sorry, Harry. I'm going to have to go with the fact that I've got my Class 1 and Class 2 licences to drive wagons, and also my ADR licence as well, so I can carry fuel. So I can do everything from selling it to delivering it to routing it to everything. So I think that's going to be my proudest achievement.
Now, those of us who are listening on the podcast might not be as serious, but it's fair to say any cliche stereotype of driver, Emily is not. I'm sat next to a very intelligent, multi-talented person here next to me who you could have, let's be honest, done anything, but you realise the importance of having that level 1 and 2 in a truck and being able to deliver it. And I want people listening to this to see that whatever happens in the future of energy transition, trucks are going to be part of it, guys, and therefore that effort that Emily done is absolutely incredible. And Hannah, what was your proudest day?
Obviously the award and completing my apprenticeships, but actually it was probably most recently when I had my first induction of sales agents new to the business, and I delivered that training and watching them come out and then go on the phones with the knowledge that you worked. It was like being a proud parent. I was like, oh, I've taught them that and they're doing really well, and it was amazing. And that was probably my proudest work achievement, seeing them grow and flourish.
And I know that also in real life you are a parent, and I was just wondering, when your child is old enough to understand, what will you tell them about the award? Because I understand it might be in the family home still to this day.
I'm going to tell her I met the Queen.
Right. I think now we get onto the juicy bit. What on earth happened to the people? Well, the good news is, as we know, they are still in the industry, hence why you gifted today. But I'm interested, Hannah, where you won the award to where you are today, I understand there's been a number of promotions since becoming an award winner. Can you tell the audience where you are today and what promotions you've had since?
Yeah, so I won the award in 2023. And since then, I've only recently gone into sales trainer, so I worked on the customer relations, deal with the complaints. And then I just had a massive career change. It was like overnight, and I thought, actually, I want to help develop and learn people. So I then went into that path, and now I'm a sales trainer. And it's amazing watching people flourish and grow, and helping with personal development is definitely up my street. So that's where I've gone now.
And Harry, you haven't stayed still. You haven't gone back to the car showroom. But you're still wheeling dealing it here today. So absolutely. What are you doing today?
Absolutely. Well, since the awards, I have joined Fast, obviously a massive supplier within the industry. I love the business, their vision, everything they're doing. And obviously, the award presents opportunity. And I think going forward, I can see a real career with the business. And yeah, the plan is to just grow within Fast.
And I think someone that's grown within Crags is certainly yourself, Emily. What heights have you hit since being a national winner?
So I won the award in 2021. I was the first person to win the Young Person of the Year award. So it's quite an honour, really. Since then, I've slowly transitioned between different departments in Crags. So I obviously started as an apprentice, moved into sales, and now I'm in operations. So I'm the transport and operations manager for our northern depots. So quite a big transition, but I'm finally settled here. I think it's quite nice to have progressed from there to where I am now.
So, Emily, I'm not going to leave it there. I'm going to get my mystic ball out and be Mystic Meg for a second. Imagine it's 2045, and I know that sounds really scary, but my first year KIFTA might have been 20 years ago when I was a young Shell graduate. The only real difference to now was probably the centrepiece of hair. But other than that, a bit less knowledge and a lot more energy. And then I've had various fun throughout that 20 years. Where do you see yourself in 2045?
It does sound like a long way away, but I've been at Crags for 10 years now, which feels like yesterday. So I think to fully progress into my role and expand the fleet and help the company get to where we want it to be, I think it'd be quite important to expand my horizons. And there's always a lot to learn. You might think because you've been here for 10 years you know exactly what you're doing, but there's days where you there's things that come about that you didn't know that you're still learning. So I think just be the best that I can be in this role.
That is really good. Now, Hannah, I see that actually a few of the directors from your business are actually looking at us right now. So where do you see yourself in 2045? Do you think you'll be managing their pension payments?
Definitely not, probably not. But hopefully still we say it us, and hopefully I've still got a job after this. But yeah, hopefully still we say it us. And I would love to have my own team of trainers and watch people come in that have never had any work experience coming from an office and then flourish into something else, something very similar to what my manager did with me. And I'd love to just help people on that journey.
And I know, Harry, you like the technical side, but where do you see that taking you in the next 20 years?
Well, hopefully sort of within the senior management team within Fast, either that or potentially run my own business one day is the dream, really.
Well, guys, dreams do come true. So I'm going to stay with you, Harry. And it's fair to say people at UKIFTA today, and I've been catching up with them all this morning, have kind of achieved everything you guys might have touched upon. So they've achieved things from honours from the royal family, such as MBEs, OBEs. There's many people in this room that have financial success of coming millionaires. There's the odd billionaire in our industry as well. And there is thousands of jobs that have been created by the people in this room. Literally thousands of jobs created in that room. So at the end of your career, do you want the honours from the royal family? Do you want the millions? Do you want the thousands of jobs? Or do you want to find the solution in energy transition?
Oh, that's a big question, isn't it? And I think, it'd be great to, you know, be financially successful. That'd be great. I mean, ultimately, I'm a salesman, so I'm not going to lie. That's what motivates me. But, just look back on a successful career and sort of, you know, a well-known name within the fuel industry.
And Emily, what are you looking forward to? Because, say, really what you can achieve with your talent is unlimited. So what would you like to get at the end of the day?
I think millions would be nice, but I need to be realistic. So I think at the end of it, I just want to have achieved everything that I've gone for, not hold back, and just be proud of what I've done and be happy and healthy. I mean, that sounds pretty...
No, I think healthy is a massive one. I think there's all of us actually that wish had done that extra bit of fitness, put it in there. I think one thing that, just to plug today's episode, we've got James Spencer from Portland Fuels, and he talks about that idea, seeing a team of over 30 people, and those people that get up at 4:30 in the morning, speak to drivers, do that deal. That's almost what gives him the buzz. And then all the other things I've mentioned have probably followed James. I don't know his exact accounts, but, like, you know, he's done well out of it. So listen today to James's episode. But then also, I guess, from your side, Hannah, what would you say is important of those, like, mega achievements that you may want in the long term?
I think for me, I just want to, when I'm old and grey and sat back, I just want to know that I've helped a lot of people get where they want to be, just the support that I've had. And I think if I know then that I've helped, that would be an honour to me, that I've helped them achieve what they wanted to do. And also just take everything that comes and just go with the flow. I think that's really important and not stress, but as a mum, that's what you do. So just hold on and keep going and going with the flow and see where it takes me would be amazing.
I don't know if it's because you're a mum or if you're in operations or you've got customers that need fuel, but I think all of those things will hit the button of still wanting you, which is very important. So we now go into the quick fire questions. We ask this to everyone. You guys aren't on your own. I've asked this to the Norwegian Prime Minister, to the head of Boeing. They've all given me different answers. So the first quick fire question in this season of the Wolf Power Club is, where are you investing either time or money in the energy industry, or where you think should be invested? And that one is to Hannah.
Definitely in renewables, like HVO, that is going to be the future. So definitely in renewables, that's going to be the next big part of our generation. So definitely there.
And Harry?
Additives.
Love it, love it. Fast exit at the show today. Buy lots of additives. It will make you really good fuel. No, yeah. I support that. Yeah. There's nothing better than treating your fuel and treating your engine like you treat any other part of your life. And then to your good self, Emily, where would you be investing time and energy?
So there's lots of opportunities still out there, and Crags are always at the forefront of our plans, and we do plan years ahead to try and be ahead of the curve and come up with different ideas to expand and grow. So...
Our next quickfire question is about the British government. Now, I know you're not political. I know you're working for big brands up here. But what are you looking for from the government in the next 12 months? In the last 12 months, they've gone big on energy transition. They've gone big on carbon capture. But there's still more work to be done. What would you like to see from the government in the next 12 months regarding energy policy? And I'm going to pick on you again, Emily.
Thank you. I think supporting renewable fuel and rebated fuel and tax clarity as well will be good.
I could not agree more with you. The idea that we run a system with dyes in it that prevents renewables scaling because you need two grades of it when we've got a digital taxation system. Emily, I think you should be in the parliament. That is spot on. And Hannah, where do you think the government should put their effort in the next 12 months for the industry?
I understand they're not going to solve world hunger, but I think we should definitely help with the financial situation at the moment. A lot of customers come on the phone that can't afford just something that they're entitled to, which is heat. So definitely helping them out a little bit more would be much more better for everyone.
I think that's a great answer for someone who actually has experience picking up the calls to people that are making that choice on their wealth, the meat versus heat debate and the energy trilemma. That is such an important thing to raise. And Harry, what would you like the government to do?
I think the farmers haven't had it easy. So let's support our farmers. And it's fair to say they're not that happy at the moment. So let's support them and let's get behind them.
Totally agree. Obviously, this time last year, we had George Eustace, who, as well as being a Secretary of State, as well as also investing into HVO and looking at the rollout of that, deals a lot with the farming community. And in that episode, we go hugely into the support farmers need. Now, it's the final question. Haven't these guys been great today? Like, you know, like this thing. So, guys, you've been absolutely amazing. But now it's your chance. It's not businesses, not government, but what should customers do in the next 12 months? And, Harry, what should they do with their additives?
Well, let's start with advertising all their fuel. I think they should start there. Obviously, lowers emissions and falls within the green piece that we're all trying to achieve. So I'll go with that.
Where would you like to see the customer going, Emily?
I think just being aware of their impact on the environment, so ordering the fuel on time and not putting pressure where it's needed, looking for different products, so telemetries and things like that, additives. I think just knowing that they have an impact on the environment too.
And Hannah, I don't think we'll give you the last word, because since they're roving mics, why not let's get a question from the crowd that we don't know yet. So if anyone's got something burning they want to ask, please get ready to fire it before this lunchtime. But Hannah, what would you do with the customers?
I 100% agree with Emily. Order on time, please, and don't let yourself run out. Invest in our products that we offer to you. They're 100% worth it, and just not putting pressure where it's needed. Just order on time. That's all I ask.
And to our audience, I'll jump down with the mic. Has anyone got a question they want to ask these UKIFTA winners, these people who've won one of the highest prizes in the industry? Is there any burning questions out there that you want to get across to 65 countries in the world? Don't be shy. Oh, there's someone at the back. Let's go. Now, can you say your name and company?
Yeah, so it's Mark Duncan from Certus Energy. I suppose the question is to all three. You've all won the Young Person Award. How do we educate or encourage young persons to come into this industry?
Oh, great question, Mark. So for those who might not have heard that, how do we encourage people to come into this industry? And I think I will start with you, Harry. What made you go from cars to this industry? Because, say, you could have gone to any industry.
Well, I sort of fell into it, but I think we just need to, whether we market it more, we need to get in front of people, and because I don't understand the scale of the opportunity within this industry and what it can do for your career. We know financially it can be very beneficial, and that could be a motivator for people as well.
And Hannah, where would you see that we could actually get future generations? And I guess you've kind of got two hats here. At some point, your children will be asking you about careers, and you've come up the apprentice route. What was this about, this apprenticeship? Because you can do apprenticeships in hundreds of industries that led you to the downstream sector.
I think just caring for customers, but again, the development opportunities that we have at Certus especially is amazing, and I don't think we advertise that enough. So I think if people actually understood the development opportunities we have here, I think that would grab a lot of young people with both hands, and I think that is something that we should be really proud of, because there is a lot of development opportunities to go up and all over the different sectors within Certus.
Now, Emily, could we do something a bit radical, like splash your truck with amazing colours, like come and join the next wave and drive them around schools? I mean, can we rev it up a bit? I mean, like Noz, who sponsors this podcast, AIM Recruit, believes in youth in trucks. He's got some great ideas about how we get up there. I mean, I once took a truck into a nursery school, and it's fair to say the nursery school teachers enjoyed it even more than the pupils. So how do we get more young people coming into this industry to make their career? And let's be honest, I get kind of frustrated when people talk about becoming an Uber driver or joining OnlyFans. Like, do something decent with your lives, guys, and come into the downstream sector. So how can we do that?
I've actually taken a truck to my old primary school for a show and tell for the children. So that was talking to them about different career paths that you can go down and how I've progressed since leaving primary school. So that was quite interesting to do the show and tell as well for the vehicle. We've also got all apprenticeship academies throughout our group. Throughout the group. And also I think posting on LinkedIn and things like this gets the word out there that there is so many different avenues that you can go down and different opportunities, and people do want to support you and they want younger people to come through. And there's people here that I see the faces in the crowd and they've supported me even if I don't really know them. So my second-hand woman is also an Emily at work, so there's two of us. She came on through the apprenticeship academy as well, and she was it saw my LinkedIn post from when I progressed, so it inspired her to do that as well. So I think just putting the word out there and everybody supporting each other.
I think that's a lovely way to end today. So I'll put this out to our listeners. If you have a school, college or university that wants to get a truck there, I know that the people in this room will happily support that if that means that people can get in and learn about our industry more. I think the other thing is that if you're listening to this thinking, I'm not sure what career step to, just ask yourself, building amazing careers like the three winners we've just heard from, the opportunity to help out people in their most desperate hour, or the possibility of helping energy transition so that we have a cleaner future because of actually doing concrete change. If that's something you want to do, keep on listening to the Wolf Power Club podcast. Sign up to anything that UKIFTA are doing and come next year to the UKIFTA show. There is no better opportunity than to meet the whole industry in one place than what Ken and Dawn are doing. Guys, we'd love to thank the audience in Leeds, so a big thank you from you guys. I want to thank you, our speakers today. It's been amazing hearing your stories and giving up your very challenging weeks to be in Leeds. I'd love to thank our sponsor, AIM Recruit, who have made this happen, this podcast. And the final thing I'd like to thank is everyone that's been listening to us. I think we've just hit 7 million interactions, and that gives me a buzz. And we want to go from 65 countries to 100 countries. So on that beautiful note, it is lunchtime in Leeds. It's time to celebrate with the energy community. Have a wonderful rest of UKIFTA, everyone. Good night, good afternoon, and have a wonderful day. Bye.